B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are the Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number to get involved. Last night, the Bruins lose 3-2 in overtime. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Grizzlick, nasty hit. He is did not return to the game. I would imagine he misses some time.
He was at the hospital, and yesterday after the game, they had not heard back from the, you know, what his prognosis was. I mean, you have to think it's concussion, but they're going to find out later on today. I know the hit's being looked at, and we're going to know, I guess, sometime later on in the morning whether or not Sundquist is going to get any kind of discipline for it. But
the headshot. The headshot from behind. And they didn't say so during the game, but yeah, it was a headshot from behind. And I'm reading things this morning, and it seems to be pretty split on if he will get supplemental discipline.
Well, their justification, it seemed on the broadcast, was that Grizzlick had, I guess, like crouched or gotten lower.
No, they said he was in a compromised position.
It is back to him.
Yeah,
it was a headshot from behind.
Which I was watching it, and I was thinking, how is that not justified to at least be, you know, a major at that point?
So I
didn't quite understand what they were trying to make excuses for.
They said that they were saying that he had moved. He was like a moving target, and he had been hit in the head from a moving target. But I disagree with that. I think in not even a homer way, because I think I look back and I think Backus did embellish that high stick
to the mouth.
Yep. I think he absolutely embellished that.
I disagree.
He got hit right in the mouth.
Well, I looked at it again, and I think so. But this Grizzly hit, it was terrible. So we'll see how that works out. It obviously hurt the Bruins.
It's amazing how much it hurt him. It was just like after that happened, obviously with only five defensemen, I mean, it seemed like everyone was exhausted out there. Just the pace of play completely went down right after
you
that.
You see, it's interesting. I thought the same thing, too, and I was listening to Bob Beers in the car on the way back from the game last night, and he said defensemen kind of like to play with five. Everyone gets more time out on the ice, but the difference was the physicality of the game may have worn them down. Not so much pace, it's just that the St. Louis forwards roughed up the Bruins defenseman last night. And Bob's theory was, instead of trying to get fancy entry into the zone, all the Blues did was chip the puck in, chase it in, and watch the Bruins defenseman turn their backs to go get the pucks, and then the bigger forwards would smear them along the boards. And that, in part, that's what happened to Grizzlick last night. And because of that, once they got to overtime, it wasn't necessarily a pace of play. It's that they were beaten up to the point where all of them were looking around and being scared to move.
Well, outside of the Sundquist hit, I thought that response by St. Louis was just awesome. Ballsy. I mean, they were embarrassed in game one. I guarantee you they saw that Krug thing on TV over and over and over again. And they were like, are we going to get pushed around like that? And what an answer. I mean, what an answer to come back like that. They dictated the pace of play for the final two periods and in overtime. It was overtime was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Overtime is something that if you watched, I mean, I what was it, like a 4-0 shots on goal? I mean, it was just utterly ridiculous the way it was tilted. But it was just at one point they decided we're going to play physical. I mean, I think they were out hit. It was like 49-30 or something crazy like that.
Right about there.
But I mean, but I was watching that and I was going, you know, all this time we were hearing about how these two teams mirror each other, and I didn't see that at all in game one. And then in game two, I was like, this is the kind of response I would expect out of the Bruins if they were to be embarrassed like St. Louis was in game one. So, I mean, this is going to be it's going to be an interesting series. And I don't know what's going to happen with the whole Grizzly thing with Sundqvist. And I don't even, to be quite honest, don't even realize how big of a difference it's going to make with Sundqvist being out. And who are they going to bring up? Is it more?
I don't know. The theory was...
Kampfer?
The theory was simply because Kampfer has the correct shot. Kampfer's a left shot, I believe it is, replacing Grizzly. That's what would slot him in more than Moore, who would be playing on his offside. So the theory is it would be Kampfer because of that.
All right, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Steak and eggs.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Okay, so right now the first line, guys, belongs on a milk carton because they are freaking missing.
And they're not only missing, they're bad.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Marchand's responsible for that second goal.
Yeah, Marchand's responsible for that. And then Bergeron was terrible. Yeah, the first line is not only missing, is there a liability right now?
Did Brad Marchand really hurt his hand in that freaking scrimmage? Because he won't shoot the damn puck.
I don't know. First and game one, and he had a couple of real good chances.
He's been coughing it up, though, Wallace. Yeah. Coughing it up big time.
No, I understand. Ben Pastrnak had this against Toronto as well. But, I mean, if people were wondering if Marchand's hand is bad, he looked pretty good in game one. He looked pretty damn good offensively in game one.
I don't know if your hand makes you turn the puck over. I don't know if your hand makes you take the wrong line on defense. I mean, it doesn't make you make stupid decisions.
As I said, Pastrnak went through something very similar early on in the Toronto series.
I mean, the first line's a joke.
Well, yeah. they're okay, so if you take a look at the goals that have been scored against the Bruins, you know, you had the one last night, which, you know, Marchand, we just mentioned, you know, he was at fault, I believe, for that one. A lot of people blame Chara. That was Marchand.
No. Chara had that side covered, and then Marchand went over and double-teamed him for no reason.
That was right up the middle. It was almost as bad as the 2-on-4 that Coyle scored on.
Which was awesome. Like, I mean, that was great. DeBrusque's pass on that was sick. But then you had, think about in game one, Pastrnak had that awful back pass that he was trying to get to Chara. So, I mean, that first line is right now at least responsible for two of the goals just by bad play. And you're right. Pastrnak can't keep the puck on a stick either. I mean, like, between him and Marchand, I mean, I don't know how many turnovers they caused yesterday, but it seems to be a lot.
Yeah, the Bruins as a team had difficult with puck possession for the balance of last night's game. And it didn't seem to be a problem for St. Louis, so you can't blame the ice this time. It was very, very strange for most of the evening. And just you guys were talking about the first line. It's very tough to make Patrice Bergeron disappear. And that is what has happened.
Yeah. Well, they dropped Pastrnak down and they brought up Heinen. So, I mean, it's just a joke right now with what happened last night with the first line. But I mean, they got to win the series. I believe they will.
Well, I mean, I hate doing this when they lose, but you kind of got to go back to look at how much they were outshot by, how much they were out hit by, how the first line is completely missing. And we know that we saw it in the last series. They've still got it, unless one of them got injured between them and then and now. So with all of that happening, they still ended up going to overtime. And I know that's kind of a crappy way to look at it, but I mean, they're still the better team.
Yeah. 5 of 13 faceoffs for Bergeron.
Which is obviously way unlike him.
No kidding.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Very odd. He arguably is the best player in the building on any given night. He failed to contribute first two games.
Did you see how pissed Rask was at Grizzly on that first goal?
No, I didn't see that.
When it came off Grizzly's ass? Oh, you didn't see it. You were on the ninth floor. Rask was furious at him. Because Grizzly, I mean, that was why they scored. Grizzly was right there, and it went off his ass. And Raz was not pleased with him. So he put the mojo on him and go get his head hit.
Then it hit Grizzlick? I don't think that, I mean, you can't really yell at Grizzlick for that, can you?
Yeah, yes, I mean, he did.
Bad placement? Is that what it was?
He was just in the wrong place? So
the
shot was coming to the right corner, yep, or the left corner if you're Raz, and Grizzlick was standing right there, and it went off his ass and up into the top shelf. It ricocheted into the top shelf, and Raz was none too pleased with Grizzlick. Because not only was he screened, I mean, it was a clean shot that went off Grizzlick's ass. I mean, Grizzlick should have been blocking or get out of the way. Yeah, Rask was pissed. It was pretty funny. He was looking at Grizzlick like, you a-hole. So if that doesn't happen, the Bruins win the game. So there's lots of things happening.
Grizzlick didn't have such an iron ass. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Aaron, go ahead.
Hey, boys.
Hey, what's up,
Aaron? I think that the first line is not playing as well because they rely on our fourth line. Our fourth line's carried us throughout the whole playoffs. It took our first line to show up in games for the media and the fans to badger them game after game, like, where are they? And Wally, I think Bergeron hasn't been, like, relevant at all in the playoffs. Like, all the veterans, all of them have been relying on the fourth line. They've been carrying us the whole playoffs, boys. Thanks.
Yeah, they started the first line last night, and it did not work out. Bergeron was not, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't great. He wasn't good. Marchand's been invisible, and he's been a liability. They dropped Pasternak down and brought Heinen up. Last night, there was a lot of things going on.
Well, I disagree with the caller. I in the playoffs, the first line, by and large, has been pretty good. I mean, I think Marchand leads the team. He has about a point a game in the
playoffs.
They've
been up and down.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking. I mean, that's true. Top four scorers are Marchand, Pasternak, Krejci, and Bergeron. I mean, the first line's been good. Overall, they have been up and down, but first line is line things.
But it's top heavy. I mean, it's like a couple games. It's not, they haven't been consistent, is what I should say.
Like the fourth line, right, which has been consistent.
Right, well, yeah, it has been surprisingly consistent.
By the way, later on in the show, we have to talk to John Walk about his ninth floor experience.
Yeah, I heard that. He told me that he couldn't tell me.
Yeah, he was.
But I know that.
I made him stop
Edward.
Talking to me. I made him.
I was in the middle of it. He's like, stop it, stop it.
I don't want to hear it until we're on the air. Okay. Because he started launching into something that is just so awesome.
Well, we can say it involves Jack Edwards.
Well, part of it does. Yes, part of it does. And so, he just started talking. I'm like, stop. Want to hear it on the air first.
Yeah, Wallach got into the game last night. He was on the ninth floor.
Yeah.
And he was by the Nesson people. And I've heard it as well. I have not, but I don't know what happened. But I can only imagine it was super weird based on the human beings.
If you follow Jack Edwards, you know it's super weird.
It's a bit ribald. Like, why is he even there?
I don't know.
I think he does post game.
Well,
he does. Yeah.
He does it. It's weird because Nesson has a little stand up backdrop in the corner, okay, and in between periods when you see the live hits, you know that's on the ninth floor. I think Dale and
I didn't see any live hits.
But they're showing the Red Sox game, right? Are they cutting in?
Maybe it was Nesson Plus, or maybe it was between periods.
Nesson Plus.
Maybe, I don't know where it was broadcast, yeah, but they had hits in between periods. I
mean, Channel 104.7.
That's why they were all up there.
Yeah, right?
629 on my thing. But
yeah,
yes.
Like, what are you? Like, yeah, I was flipping on over to Nesson Plus.
I don't know where they had it in, but they had hits in between every period.
I'll tell you what I don't like is that Sharp fella.
Patrick Sharp?
You're like Patrick Sharp? I had no problem with Patrick Sharp.
That is hair.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay,
it's the hair. It's like Lego. Hair. It's like a Lego character.
Barry Melrose. By the way, the ESPN people, I saw the ESPN people, saw Steve Levy, saw Barry Melrose.
Levy still works there?
Steve Levy still works there. Yeah. He does the NHL stuff. He does the Stanley Cup final stuff. Barry Melrose's hair. How old is Barry Melrose? 65, 70? I mean, that hair is at full mast, man.
Yeah,
it
but
is
that's
something.
He just greases it back.
No, and he did. I'm saying
Sharp has this, and he's got fake teeth, and he's got the. He bugs me, and he wears tight suits.
Oh, I got you.
Oh yeah,
tight suit. Just,
okay. Oh yeah. Oh, okay. I notice.
Okay, I did not see Patrick Sharp. All right.
Well, no, you, of course not. He was in good seats.
And I can't knock a hockey player for having fake teeth. I mean, that's kind of par for the course.
Fake, cost of doing business.
Yeah, but it's like fake, like...
it's not Crash Clark teeth.
Yes, he has Crash Clark teeth. Interesting. Maybe a little better job than Crash had on him.
Okay.
Crash came in one day and he was so proud of himself.
That's right. Crash just veneered himself, right?
They knocked all his teeth out. It was like a 10-hour process, and I'm hardly exaggerating. Like, it was all day. And they knocked his teeth out, and they made him like little pegs, and then they put big porcelain choppers in there.
Man.
And he showed up, and he was so proud of himself. Boy. And he got so pissed when we made fun of him. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
He would remember how proud of himself
I think he's got him. I think he corrected him. I think he did something to, like, shave off the bottom or something like that.
His teeth looked normal when we saw him in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think he's corrected them.
Because he didn't pay for it.
No, it looked like...
Oh, all right.
John, it looked like a wall of urinals.
Really? That bad?
Like, all right. And he was smiling a lot because he was so proud.
Right.
Because, you know, he had Florida teeth. He had gnarled, brown.
It was Matt Dillon.
In the UK.
It was Matt Dillon in There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he showed up. All right. And he just had these gigantic choppers. Patrick Sharp bugs me with that hair and that attitude.
Sure.
Go F yourself.
What attitude? I did find it funny that he almost cried, it seemed like, when he was talking about Marchand making fun of his kids.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, he got very pensive.
Okay.
He was like, said, "Hey, your kids are ugly." And then I went back and I said, "Hang on, I only have one child, and she's beautiful, so you can't know who my children are."
And this is after he was in the league for 8 years. Yeah. He had this happen to him, and he was upset.
Big dummy. All right, we'll be right back. We'll continue talking about the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, it was a frustrating evening yesterday.
That's the word I use. Bruins 8-game win streak. It is a frustrating way to end it.
Another turnover by the Bruins. Left of the net. Now we've got a penalty. And Rask makes the save. Swatted over to the near side. High slot. Barbashev. Far side fired. Wide. Rebound. Gunnarsson. Near point. Gunnarsson high slot. High slot, he fires and scores. Carl Gunnarsson from long range, and the St. Louis Blues have beaten the Boston Bruins in game two, 3-2 in overtime to even the Stanley Cup final series at one game apiece.
Well, in game one, the Bruins looked like garbage for one period and then flipped the switch to destroy mode. In game two, it was the complete opposite. In their 3-2 overtime loss to the Blues, things started off strong, however, with a phenomenal dish from Jake DeBrusk to Charlie Coyle to start things off.
Jake DeBrusk frees it. Krug out of the line for Pastrnak. High slot. Bruins in the midst of changing. Far circle DeBrusk. Left of the net. Centers. Coyle shoots. He scores!
All right, I'm not smart enough to know this myself, but according to The Athletic, and we talked about this yesterday, Gunnarsson wouldn't have been in the lineup if Dunn came back in. So, the irony.
Oh, the irony.
I don't think that's the correct definition of irony.
Well, that right there four Blues on two Bruins, yeah. And they made it look easy for a moment. I thought, all right, here we go again. But the Blues answered back quickly. They had that tough shot reflected off Grizzlick's iron ass, tying yes. things up.
They were very angry.
which now I want to see. Now I want to see that.
Yeah. He was Dan knows.
Okay.
Yeah, he got pissed.
For some reason, I didn't notice that. And then once again, the Bruins' best line as of late, the fourth line, puts them out in front again.
Stolen by Nordstrom. Wrister left of the net, Perron. Dished it over to the far side. Back of the net, the Bruins retrieve. Centered out in front. Backhand, they score! The Blues turn it over. The forecheck goes to work. And how about the poise out in front from Joe Keith Nordstrom? He delayed. Got Binnington to commit. And then shoved it between its legs. 2-1 Bruins.
By the way, not stated there, but Sean Corrali had that ridiculous backhand pass to Nordstrom, who yeah. was wide open. Who buried one there. Corrali, by the way, Corrali's so damn fast. Like, I mean, that's the one thing you notice when you watch him skate. Most of the time he's on the ice, the Blues just have no answer to his speed. But then, of course, after you have that momentum, Marchand gets absolutely dusted, and that leads to this.
Out comes Tarasenko, left wing feed, Schwartz, 2-on-1, shoots Rask, the save, rebound, and Tarasenko, the goalie, score! Tarasenko stayed with it. The odd man chance generates the equalizer. Bruins 2, Blues 2.
Yeah, that was not good, but the game was tied. And then you could tell the moment that the life was sucked out of the Bruins, and that's when Oscar Sundqvist sent Matt Grizzlick's head right into the board.
Ooh, Grizzlick run into there by Sundqvist. Meanwhile, the puck comes out in front, but Grizzlick is down, and there'll be a penalty coming up here.
Sundqvist, he's the one that made contact with Grizzlick. He's the one that took the bad penalty against Krug in game number one. David Backes over with Steen, his old buddy. Now you got Petrangelo there, gathering of the clans.
Question will be how many minutes here with Grizzlick injured?
Looked like Grizzlick changed his level a bit, Doc, as he was going back for the puck. It looked like he just lost his, you know, he just lowered his level a little bit, and that's where the contact came by Sundqvist up high. See how he's looking? He knows. And it looks like he was going to move one way and put the puck back the other way.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of things. I mean, the guy's on skates. If you're not going to call these penalties, then don't call them. I mean, there's one. It's one thing if the guy, I mean, I don't know what Grizzlick did. They kept showing it and explaining it away. And you're thinking, well,
that the elbow was originally going to go to the shoulder, but they said that Grizzlick lowered himself and ended up going to his head.
Yeah, I mean,
which it didn't look like he lowered himself enough to justify that.
No, I mean, a human body moves. Like, but it's not, yeah, it's not like the guy, I mean, he was, Grizzlick had his back to him, and the guy comes in and hits him in the head. Now, Grizzlick wasn't falling or manipulating his body in a way, and it's not like he hit it shoulder into the head. I mean, he hit him in the head.
Ultimately, I don't know if Sundqvist gets suspended or not suspended, how much this really damages St. Louis. What do you get score, 10 and 15 goals a year? Whatever it is. It's not a ton. He's not an impact player on the team, but the NHL has gone out of their way to try and get headshots out of the league. And it doesn't matter if it's accidental or not. It's kind of like your problem with instant replay, Fred. If you have to slow it down frame by frame to make a call like that, you shouldn't have to. It's a penalty. It's a suspendable offense. It's a headshot.
Yes. And that's the thing, is that there are times where, like in the middle of the ice or something, like, you know, someone might, but then your head's down. Like, I'm trying to think of how any way that would have been justified.
Really, I guess they're going with intention. I mean, they're going to look at intention. They're going to say, well, you know, was he going for the shoulder, and did Grizzlick like lower himself into his shoulder?
He wanted to make a statement and give the Blues credit. They did for most of the evening. Well, they were very physical with the Bruins defenseman.
Yeah, there's physical, and then there's a headshot with the guy's back.
Sure. Team.
So Grizzlick was taken to the hospital. There was no update as of last night.
And
so,
by the way, that was boarding, right?
Yep, yes. Boarding. Yep.
Penalty, 2 minutes for boarding. Should have been five.
It should have been five in game misconduct. It was a boarding call.
It didn't seem. You see, the thing is, though, it didn't seem dirty enough to really be a game misconduct.
That happened at the other end of the ice from me. So I take my opinion for what it's worth. I didn't see a replay until after the game. I couldn't tell immediately that there was intent there.
It seems like a hard hit gone
bad. I thought two, definitely two, maybe five, because Grizzlick was hurt. You heard him say that. I got to be honest with you. I didn't think misconduct at all.
Well, Grizzlick's 5'2", so, I mean, it's, you know, you're going to hit him in the head.
Well, NHL player safety is going to take a look at the hit, and whether or not it warrants a hearing, we're not going to know that till later this morning. And when we get back, we have comments on that. Backus was not a big fan of it. On top of that, there was one legitimately great moment that it sucks that they lost, because you had kind of a borderline hero moment during the game that unfortunately has been wasted.
All right. We'll have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's an app.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Far point Portuzo. Rink wide to Gunnarsson. High slot. Shoots left to the net. Sent out in front by Bozak. Far side. Shot, they score. I think Maroon may have tipped it. And it goes shelf by Rask. And this game is tied up at one.
Gonna get the Bozak. All right, Rich, more from the game.
Yeah, by the way, I just rewatched that Grizzlick hit, and, I mean, his elbow, Sundquist's elbow didn't even hit his head. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to get any kind of suspension. I think it was an attempt at a hard hit, obviously. He should have gotten 5 minutes, but there's not going to be a suspension for that. You can tell that there doesn't seem to be, like, any kind of intent. He wasn't head-hunting.
That seems to be the consensus.
But from that Grizzlick hit on, just a tough game for the Bruins, starting with the power play, which was shockingly bad. Boston converted once on five power plays and landed just three shots when they had an extra man. And they had a hard time even staying in their offensive zone throughout the evening, even strength alone. And they were outshot 37-23 in regulation and 4-0 in overtime. But the most glaring problem last night, as we were mentioning, was the first line, or at least Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak, who got moved between the first and second line at times last night. Those three have been bad all series, registering a -7 in those two games. Now, Marchand at times just looked completely lost after already being responsible for that tying goal. Offensively, they look nothing like their old selves, combining for just 7 shots on goal and about 48,000 unnecessary passes. But there's no question that that line of, what, Schwartz, Shannon, Tarasenko.
Tarasenko, yep.
I mean, they've outplayed that. They've outmuscled the first line. And the physicality, it's almost as if the Blues were embarrassed by the Torrey Krug thing and said never again. They out in them 49-31. On top of that, with only 5 defensemen, the Bruins just looked gassed. However, there was one cool moment from one of the unsung players last night, which unfortunately has now been wasted.
Parayko, high slot to the right circle, Perron. Back to Parayko. Shoots, blocked.
And Nordstrom laying out to block that shot.
He's
on a one
right
timer from Parayko. He's hurt.
Parayko high slot, shoots, blocked. Rebound in the slot, batted left of the net. Trouble here, squirts over to the near side. Corrali, Nordstrom still trying to shake it off. High slot, Parayko, and it's blocked again by Nordstrom. Near point, Parayko. Nordstrom going for the block again. Parayko deals to the far point.
The shades of Gregory Campbell.
It's so funny. They said it on the broadcast. They said it on TV last night, and it's exactly what I was thinking. It was a very cool Gregory Campbell moment.
But unfortunately, that was one of about 3 or 4 times where the Blues had the puck in the Bruins' end for, what, 90 seconds?
Yeah.
2 minutes?
Yeah,
and that was 5-on-5, not a power play.
Yeah, and getting multiple chances.
Yeah.
Well, he was on the ice for over a minute at that point and was just hobbled. I mean, I think were both slap shots blocked by his leg. One looked like his ankle that nailed. I think the first one might have been his ankle. And then after that, I believe it was leg. But too bad it was wasted, as I said, in a loss like that, because that was a very cool moment. But Brad Marchand, he understands. He knows what's going on. He realized he hasn't been very good as of late.
Yeah, we need to be better. I mean, personally, I wasn't good the last two games. So, you know, we can't be playing like that.
So as far as Grizzlick, Bruce Cassidy afterwards gave a little bit of an update on what's been going on and where he was.
Well, he got hit from behind. I mean, that what was called. His head got driven into the glass. So he went to the hospital to get some tests. Never returned, obviously. So we're still waiting for an update.
David Backus laid out a guy last night. Who was that that he...
let me see if I wrote it down.
Blay, yeah. Blay, spelled Blaze.
Oh, yeah.
Laid him out. So David Backus, and it seems like they're picking on Backus, too. It's like they went after Krug. There was a very good montage that the people on TV did where they got all the gratuitous hits on Tory Krug. I mean, they were trying to make the guy pay.
I think that Backus is dishing it out as much as he's getting it. So I think that with Backus, it's not he's not being targeted. He's kind of inviting the contact.
Well, you may be
right.
He
had a big hit last night.
Yeah, on Blay. And then you had right here David Backus being asked about the Grizzly hit, and he thinks there's no place for that.
I don't think that's a hit we want in our game. I think it's, you know, from behind, elevated into his head, into the glass. You know, if that's a two-minute penalty, there's going to be a shortage of defensemen, I think, in the series by the end of it. But that's in somebody else's hands. That's something that I think if I'm making that hit, I'm probably watching from the bleachers for a few, but we'll see what happens with their player.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you heard of give me one for the Gipper? Well, there was a moment yesterday, apparently in front of a urinal, where Coach Berube from the St. Louis Blues said to his guy, let's score one more.
Got a quick story here. After the regulation, I'm in there taking a leak. Gunny comes up, sitting beside me having a leak. All I need is one more chance.
I don't get it.
They're peeing, and he goes to Gunny and goes, hey, listen, score one more for him. And he goes out, buries the game winner.
Well, I thought it was Gunnarsson saying, Coach, put me out there while Berube is going to the bathroom.
And didn't, well, and who was sitting down?
Hang on, because I'm misunderstanding
the
story.
There's a lot
here.
Of things going on.
That's how I took it.
I thought that they were standing next to each other at the urinal.
He was sitting down.
Oh, he's so, pee sitting down then?
Does he pee sitting down?
Hey, let me hear this one more time. We need a little analysis of this story.
Got a quick story here. After the regulation, I'm in there taking a leak. Gunny comes up, sitting beside me having a leak. All I need is one more chance.
So hang on. So he pees sitting down?
So both of them do, apparently. The Ruby said, sitting beside me taking a leak.
Okay, so we know that the Blues coach and at least some of their players pee sitting down.
How about that?
Was that in the locker room?
Yeah, that was after the game. And then...
Because it was tremendous guffaws.
Yes. Well, Gunnarsson was asked about this afterwards.
You know, I was close in the third, hit the post there, and we had a little talk in the locker room after, in between periods there before the OT, and I just told him I needed one more.
Carl, in the words of Oscar Sundquist, your conversation with Craig happened, quote, at the pisser. Could you just kind of clarify for us before this goes into Stanley Cup lore of where and kind of paint the picture for us?
Yeah, I can't deny that. That's where that's where it happened. So that makes it even more fun, I guess. That's a good story.
It was always fun.
Now we were sitting down peeing together.
Now David Pastrnak, when you are in the bathroom, I'll leave you alone.
Thanks.
He's kind of breathy too. You know, there's something, he's producing some product.
No, what's gotten into you, David? You seem to be having some difficulty on the bathroom.
Pasta bolognese.
It's a pasta bolognese.
You ate some bad what?
Pasta bolognese.
Okay.
Pasta. Thanks.
It looks like you've excreted several worms.
Thanks.
What could have that been?
Could have been
pasta bologna.
Okay. All right.
What did you have on the toilet after you ate that bad food?
Monopoly.
You had a monopoly on the toilet. Okay.
He took over all the seats.
Here's some extra TP for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Backus will head up ice. Hacks down Sammy Blay. Saw him coming and he leveled him.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We have the Bankroll Boys coming in at 7. And the most Bankroll Boys thing ever, Dan Livshads can't come in because he hurt his neck.
He's on the IR.
I mean, how old is Livshads?
I mean, he's got to be like 30.
Yeah.
He hurt his
neck.
He's
not even hurting. 30.
Doing what?
I don't know, but how are you not even 30 and hurting your neck?
I think it's the whiplash he did when he pressed send yesterday on their new podcast, because I guess he kept teasing that it is the biggest play they have ever put out there. He said you could get at least 4 wins from this play. I think it has to do with the NBA Finals.
Okay.
So we'll have to ask Joe Murray about that. I had to look something up because this, I mean, I saw this morning and I wasn't quite sure this was true. But so the Bruins had 5 power plays last night, right, John?
I believe so, yes.
You know how many shots on goal they had during the power play?
3.
3.
Total.
Total?
Yeah. They went over 10 minutes without a shot in the second period, and they had 2 power plays in which they did not have a shot in the second period.
I mean,
St. Louis dominated them.
I understand they converted on 1 of the 5.
That was early.
And that was early. But if you have 3 shots on goal total for out of 5 power plays, that's awful.
It tells you that Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak are not playing well.
Yep. Yes. And even on top of that, to add insult to injury, that the St. Louis Blues, you want to know how many shots they had shorthanded on goal during those power plays? 3.
Mm-hmm.
They had as many shorthanded shots on goal as the Bruins had shots on goal during 5 power plays.
And it goes back to what we were saying before about puck possession. For some reason, the Bruins couldn't keep the damn puck on their collective sticks last night. Wasn't a problem for St. Louis.
They get too crazy. They pass the puck around too much, especially the first line. I don't know why they've gotten away from what they're good at. But yeah, there's times all playoffs where Marchand is just giving the puck up in... Just shoot.
Shorthanded, they had a great chance, and Marchand got too fancy. Bergeron was the trailer.
Yep.
And if Marchand puts the puck on net, maybe Bergeron's there for a rebound, or God forbid he should actually beat Binnington short side. I mean, there was a play to be made there, and that was Marchand's one real good
chance.
And by
the way, Binnington, the first goal was soft, so yeah. It's not like he was unbeatable last night. It's not like he took control of the game. I mean, I think Rask was... if not better, certainly equal.
He got lucky when Gunnarsson's first shot hit the post. I thought the puck was in.
Yeah, I thought it was over. And I think for a second, Rask thought it was over.
Yeah.
Because you saw he just kind of stood there and looked around and goes, oh, God, the puck's still in play.
Yeah.
Well, it was no shot off the ass of a Grizzly.
No, it wasn't.
infuriated him.
Yeah, which I still want to see. But one group of people who are probably very glad that the Bruins are indeed playing right now are the Boston Red Sox.
Line toward the alley, left center, slicing away. Bradley on the move, can't get it. It drops into the warning track. Here comes Plawecki in to score. Here comes Lindor in to score. Mercado right behind him. What a ball game for Santana.
Yeah, Indians weren't playing very well until they played the Red Sox, and now all of a sudden they're kingmakers. If you take a look, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, it was the Red Sox bullpen that allowed 7 runs. Yesterday it was their starter, giving up 7 runs of his own.
Ryan Weber. Greg Maddux. That was the narrative before the game, because he pitched real well up in Toronto, and he's one of those guys that can't break 90 miles an hour with his fastball. So he requires, you know, pinpoint control. The problem if he doesn't have pinpoint control, you'll see what happens to him. That's what happened last night.
And I love their plan, too, of starting the game early so people can watch the Bruins game. What time was that game over?
It was
like after the second period,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I know.
Now
you can't go to a Red Sox game until like mid-June.
I mean, honestly, last night was what, 40-something degrees?
Yeah.
It was gross. It was outside.
It was awful.
I mean, really, your first 2 months of baseball, how many enjoyable games do you think there have been at Fenway Park?
Two or three? By the way, that game, according to Dan, was 3 hours and 40-some-odd minutes.
All right. Just wait. Hey, and they're playing the Yankees soon, too, so get
tomorrow,
used to it.
Tonight.
So what a great way to go into this. The Indians just teed off on Ryan Weber. 14-9 was the final score.
3 hours and 42 minutes.
Crazy. 4 innings, gave up 8 hits, and the rest of the guys and the staff, pitching staff, didn't do that well either. So they open up that big series against New York.
Only today. 7.5 back.
How can kids, 10 and 11 and 12-year-old kids, play six innings in an hour and 15 minutes, and grown men who can throw 100 and some odd miles an hour. Oh, by the way, we were talking about this yesterday after the show, and this is of no interest to anyone, but I want to say, well, I remember it. There was a kid, remember I was telling you, there was a kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Yeah.
A high school pitcher?
Yeah.
And he had devoted his life to pitching. This was a couple years ago, and he was drafted number two overall in the Major League Baseball draft. Guess what he's doing right now?
Parking cars?
No.
He's a valet?
No, he was drafted 2 years ago. They didn't.
Oh, okay.
They haven't caught
him. You set it up like something really bad had happened.
He has devoted his life to pitching.
Yeah, I think parking cars is a very noble profession. I mean, you're working hard for your money. What, you got a problem with blue-collar jobs?
Don't
spin
it that way. Give me a break.
You
done a summer in it?
I thought you were being very elitist there, John Watts.
Oh,
stop it.
Everyone just wants to.
Jesus
everyone
Christ.
Who parks cars. Everyone who parks cars is saying, you know what, Rich, you're right. I've gone for this goal my entire life.
Wallach at 985thesportshub.com or at Toucher and Rich, and you want to let me know about it. I can just read it to John.
Everyone who parks cars is like,
I hate you.
Yes, Rich.
I really
do. This is what I've strived for.
With a silver spoon in their gap.
Yeah.
What gap?
That's right.
No gap. Previous.
Yeah, well, you know. All right. So
screw you.
He devoted his almost his entire youth to pitching. What do you think is happening right now?
He's playing the outfield. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Different.
I don't know what he's doing.
He's playing a different position.
You told him his headphones? Japan?
No, I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear me. Just whispered Tommy John.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
Oh, you weren't paying attention.
Because it's the obvious.
Again.
Yes, he's sitting out with Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Kids. 19 years old. He's got Tommy John surgery. What are your kids doing?
I don't know.
What are they doing? They're sitting around playing.
Well, now you said it yourself. At least the little league level, they're doing their best to avoid that. They're only allowing kids to throw so many pitches. And if they throw, 75, they have to take 3 or 4 days off.
And Newton, you're allowed to throw 150 a game. You're allowed to really stretch it out.
Okay. Oh, God. I got a hot take tweet that just came out. This guy, his name is Jim Thomas.
Okay.
He's the Blues hockey writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Post-Dispatch, yeah.
Okay. He said, Torrey Krug's hit on Robert Thomas was celebrated by the Bruins in Game 1. Oscar Sundquist's Game 2 hit on Matt Greslick was not.
Is it something in the water? Honest to God.
Maybe it's because they're a little different. One was perfectly legal, and the other one was a hit from behind.
One was penalized.
What is he talking about?
I think that
so. Are you telling me you want St. Louis fans to celebrate the hit on Matt Greslick?
Let me see the guy's picture.
All right, his name is Jim Thomas.
Because they have like a really corny. Oh no, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I am a Post-Dispatch reader, a frequent reader of the Post-Dispatch, and I have no idea who that guy is.
None. Okay.
Because they have a really corny columnist now, because that, what's it, whatever.
Bernie Mikolas?
Mikolas is now on the radio. So
right.
The guy who replaced him sucks. But I read the Post-Dispatch a couple times a week, and I've never heard of that guy. He must be like some... Like, guy break the glass in case that we need to send someone out of town. So, that's some Homerism.
that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that is a plea to the audience to love them. All right, well, listen. The Bankroll Boys are coming in. You said, Rich, they had the biggest play ever.
I saw it teased yesterday on Twitter. You know who's a big fan of the Bankroll Boys, by the way? Will Brinson. Like, has them on a bunch and, you know, he, like, loves the Bankroll Boys. Maybe he's earned some money because of the Bankroll Boys.
Well, listen, the Bankroll Boys know it all. And the funniest thing about the Bankroll Boys is that Dan Lifshatz, we believe, is under 30 and has hurt his neck, which is like...
More and more, it's just Joe Murray sitting here anyway. Yeah. I mean, three out of the last 5 weeks, he's just been Joe.
I just think it's funny that he hurt his neck. Like, he wasn't in an accident or anything. He's like, when was the last time you hurt your neck?
It's been a while.
He's like, I hurt my neck. All right, we will be back. No commercials here, just ahead.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.